Hallelujah. 29th of March in here. Yeah. Yeah, it's at 8:30.
Yes.
Yeah, community breakfast. So if you want to come, that'll be great. All right, let's pray, shall we? Now you've all got your coffees just about. You're plenty time, Chris, don't you worry. Hallelujah. You're listening, amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much that we're here. Thank you that we're in this place. Father, I thank you for the teaching that we've already had this morning. Thank you for that wonderful expounding of Scripture and communion and in the offering. I thank you for the way that the Word is just taught right through the service. Thank you for the way the Word was taught during worship, all those worship songs based on your Word. Thank you that we've been singing and speaking out the Word already this morning. But I thank you now it's time to really gather around and focus on your Word, focus on these amazing Scriptures, these amazing incorruptible seeds that we're about to plant in our hearts. Thank you for this process, Father, that you've put in place, this process for lasting and permanent change through understanding your Word. So thank you for these seeds. Thank you for the hearts that are going to receive it. And I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus so those seeds are not stolen. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. It's wonderful as a pastor and a teacher, Ryder. When somebody takes something, that not quite a throwaway comment, but I've not worked it out yet, and then just work it out themselves. Fantastic. You all need to do that. Probably more especially if things that you maybe don't think is true. You know, check me out. Actually, check out the Scriptures. Don't just take my word for it. But I'm really glad that that impacted on you. It's a huge, I've been thinking about it all week, about this legality that what the Lord has almost like put himself under. Yeah. Now some folk might not like to hear it. You know, he cannot get out of healing us. No. Not that you want to. Not that you can, because you've done it all. But there's this legality about it. Just amazing. So you blessed me. Thank you. And Michelle, your communion, your offerings is great. I love them. Look forward to them every week. Hallelujah. So let's start. We're in week 3 of this mini-series about atonement. It's kind of started as a little mini-series because I was going to be going away in a couple of weeks and Nancy was going to be preaching. But I don't know if you want me to carry on, and this mini-series will become one of my mega series. I don't know where it's going to go. But talking about the atonement, who can remember my Ladybird book definition of atonement? I should have it on there, shouldn't I? Yeah. There is an element of exchange, yes. It's the reconciliation of God and mankind. Yeah, Michelle's writing it down this week. The reconciliation of God and mankind through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And here's the deep theology. When he took all our bad stuff and we get all his good stuff.
Amen.
I love that bit. That's the really deep stuff. That's about this exchange that Ellie mentioned there. He exchanges our bad stuff for our good stuff. Love it. Week 1, we were speaking about this Jesus once for all sacrifice. Let's look at that again. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 12 to 14. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he'd offered how many sacrifices?
One.
After he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One sacrifice forever. We spoke about Jesus being our high priest, but also being our sacrifice at the same time. Perfect, that spotless lamb that Peter speaks about. Awesome, wonderful picture. Good stuff. All sin dealt with for all time. So I kind of laid that groundwork. But I also said that it was not just about sin. We have these great exchanges that took place on the cross. Sometimes we just get so focused on sin. It's all about sin. It's not. Yes, Jesus dealt with sin, but you know that wasn't his prime purpose in coming to the earth. I've said that before. Jesus' main mission wasn't to deal with sin. His mission was to come and reconcile us back to his Father. He dealt with sin in order to do that. So let's focus more on the reconciliation and not all about the sin stuff. But I said it's so much more than sin, dealing with sin. We spoke about the great exchanges that started to take place. I've lost my box. Where's my box? I took my box out. I did, I took it out, didn't I? Oh, there it is, there it is. Let's not forget all our benefits. Don't lose your Sozo package. Amen, it was covered. Yeah, we talked about that. In the old covenant, atonement was just about covering. But in the new covenant, it was about exchange. Remember that? When I took Val's sin and I gave her this in return. So, yeah, lots of exchanges going on in there. Last week, we started looking at these great exchanges. Punishment for forgiveness and sickness for healing. And I showed you how they were linked. Couldn't take one without the other. We saw Jesus speaking about it, linking healing, linking forgiveness. See, if Jesus forgives, then he heals. Now, the whole of the church proclaims that Jesus forgives. The whole of Christendom accepts that Jesus forgives. No questions asked. You want to come to the Lord, my son? Yeah, brilliant, excellent. Let's just ask. Let's just ask the Lord if he'll forgive you. We never do that, do we? Never do that. Why? Because it's automatic. We've got that thing. God forgives. But we still have this thing. Well, if it's his will he heal me? God, if it is your will. We can know what God's will is by reading the Bible. Amen. And his will is to heal. Always has been. In fact, let's just say something quite controversial today. Right now, it is not God's will to heal. Listen to it. It is not God's will to heal. Why? It's already done it. He's already healed us. He's already provided all the healing we're ever going to need. In your born-again spirit, do you think there's any sickness? Any imperfection? Any pain? No, you've already got it. Our job is to work it out. That's what Philippians talk about. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not work it out as in, I'm going to have to do this. No, work it out as in, get it out your spirit and through your soul into your body. Anyone who comes to the Lord instantly receives the benefits of forgiveness, don't we? We don't have to ask for it. It's automatic. The church knows that. Once you're saved, you are forgiven. And that instant, because of that forgiveness and you're receiving those benefits, you are made righteous and you are saved. You have your salvation. Yes?
Yes.
Automatic? Yes. Well, healing is the same. Healing is linked with forgiveness. That's what we looked at last week. The second we are born again, we have been healed. Because our born again spirit is healed, and we just need to get to say we just. Then we need to get that out. Amen? Same for healing. In our born-again spirit, we have all the healing we'll ever need. All the healing that is ever needed at all has already flowed. It's already been done. It's in our born-again spirit. Our job is to work it out. Quite apt for this moment. So that's a summary. Let's look at another of these great exchanges today. Again, we're going to use scripture to show what Jesus has removed from us and given us in return. And again, I'm going to hope you're going to walk out that door and not be able to not believe me. Does that make sense? Did that? Yeah. Was that good English? I'm a mathematician. I didn't do English at university. I can get there. So let's look at another one of these exchanges, and hopefully you'll go out the door and you're thinking, what Vic said was true because the Bible says so. I think there was no one who could have walked out the door last week and thought, no, healing's not for me. Well, hopefully not. Because I took you on a rational trail through the Bible. Hopefully I'll do the same today. Okay. So, church, we all get forgiveness. Some of us get healing. For some people, healing is controversial. If you thought that was controversial, you ain't heard nothing yet. Because I'm getting on to the really controversial one today. I'm getting on to the P word. Who can remember what the P word is? Prosperity. That word that no one in the church likes to talk about. We'll also talk about the M word.
Money.
Talk about the P word and the M word. Folk don't seem to like them in the church. But this is an essential part of the great exchange that took place on the cross. I am going to show you, here's the headline from this morning. Here's the headline that you go away with. We are prosperous and God is our provider. Couple of amens, that's good. Hopefully we'll get a lot of amens when I say it again at the end. Hopefully I will have persuaded you. But a lot of folk don't like this. A lot of folk really don't like it. Get completely turned off. I was going to look at the numbers, but it's all right. See if any get switched off. Folk in the church, especially religious folk, just seem to go daft when I start speaking about this. Remember I was speaking at the City Church 3 or 4 weeks ago? Well, I started off by saying, my aim in business is to make lots and lots of money. I want to be rich. I want to have loads and loads of money and make lots and lots of it and make more and more. And the silence was deafening. But then I went on to use scriptures to show that money's not evil. What is evil?
Love of it.
The Bible doesn't say money's evil. And then I went on to show what the use of money was for. Not for a big telly and a fancy car. It's for sowing into the kingdom. So they kind of got okay with me eventually after that. But it was interesting. But any preacher who stands up and starts talking about money, starts talking about prosperity, it's difficult. I mean, I've told you guys, I never preached on it for years. Because I always had the perception, as soon as a minister stands up and starts speaking about money, he's only doing it because he wants mine. Yeah? Anybody else kind of think that? And so as a minister, I'm kind of thinking, ooh, do I really want to preach on that? Because everybody out there is going to think I'm just after their money. Yeah, in a sense, kind of, I am. But not for me, for the kingdom. And for yourselves. What did Paul say to the Philippians? Why did he want them to give him an offering? Because it was good for them, so that they would be blessed. Amen. So I'm trying to bless you today. Talking about money, talking about prosperity. Anyway, let's look at this in the context of the cross. So let's go to Isaiah 53. Let's look at some scriptures. Because if I really want to persuade you about this, because it is such a controversial subject, I need to give you scriptures. I need to give you the words. This can't be just vicology. This has got to be scripture. So Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Wonderful. Lyle's already covered that this morning. Karak encompasses the whole of the new covenant. Remember, we looked at that last week. We're looking at a different context where we're looking in relation to healing last week, but this week we're looking at it in the context of prosperity. And it still holds. Last week, we looked... I'm sorry, I'm feeling really excited. Am I going too fast or too loud? No, no, I'm okay. I can feel excited. So Isaiah 52, 4 and 5. Yeah. Remember last week we looked at the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Sean, be quiet. What is the Hebrew word there that we're talking about?
Shalom.
Shalom, yeah. Everybody knows it. Shalom. One meaning is welfare. Not welfare as in going and getting social security, but welfare as in health, prosperity and peace. And we know we looked at Luke 2 last week. We'll be looking at Luke 2 soon because it'll soon be Christmas. It's March already, isn't it?
Merry Christmas,
yeah. So we'll be looking at Luke 2 again soon. We know Jesus came to bring on earth peace. Not peace on earth peace. And we know that peace was goodwill to all men from God. He came to bring that reconciliation, came to bring us back into relationship, came to bring it back so that we could be saved, yes?
Yes.
Brilliant. What's the root word in Greek? What's the root word in Greek for salvation? To be saved? Sozo. Great, I love that word, sozo. Very similar meaning to the word shalom. Means to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, to make whole. Shalom and sozo, both about doing well. About being prosperous as a meaning. Now some folk would disagree with me there because I think they just don't like that that idea of being prosperous. There seems to be this mindset in the church that we kind of need to be poor and we need to be humble and nonsense. I'll get on to that. But we're talking about shalom, we're talking about sozo, about that peace. It does mean prosperity as well. The shalom package, the sozo package. I talk about the sozo package a lot, don't I? Because there's so much involved in sozo. We get so much in that great exchange. And the things that we get in return for what Jesus took, that's part of the sozo package. I say package because so many people think sozo or salvation is a ticket into heaven.
Yeah.
And that's it. I just need to get through until I get into heaven. I was watching a bit of a programme recently from, anybody heard of Hilary Mantel? You know, he wrote Wolf Hall, Bring Up the Bodies. Well, her third book in that trilogy is coming out, so there was a programme about her. And she was talking about how she didn't like the church she was growing up in and whatever. And she said all the people, all they were concerned about was what was going to happen after they were dead. So, and in church, isn't it great? When we die, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be so, we're going to be in heaven and we're going to get this and we're going to get that and life's going to be good. What about life now? There seems to be no concern about that. But no, we're meant to live a good life now. That's what Jesus came for. John 10:10. Let's look at that. Or John 10, let's read from 7. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall be saved. And then it talks about the sheep going in and out and finding pasture. That's talking about a good life. Once you're saved, you don't just sit there and sit it out until your ticket into heaven comes into play. No, you go in and out and you find pasture, good pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That verse talks about Jesus being the door. If you go in that door, you will be sozoed. You go in that door, you will be saved. You will be sozoed. And then it talks about what happens when you've been saved. It talks about life in abundance. That's what Jesus came to bring. I am come that they might have life. Not just life. That they might have life more abundantly. Now, until Friday night, I kind of thought I knew what that word abundance meant. Now, it might be a little bit remiss of me, but I'd never really gone in and studied the Greek behind that word abundance, because I know what abundance means. It's great. It's abundance. It's lots of stuff. It's life, and it's good, and there's lots of it. But see something, even if we think we know a word, we ought to look it up in Strong's. See what the Greek is, see what the Hebrew is. The Greek word for abundantly there is perissos, and it means this, in the sense of beyond. In the sense of beyond. So I need a certain amount, but life in abundance goes beyond.
Amen.
You think that was amen? Here's the next definition. Superabundant in quantity, superior in quality.
Amen.
Oh, that's good, that's life. That's our life, our Zoe life. Life with Jesus. Not just any old life, but in quantity in terms of what the things that we need. Super abundant. Not just abundant. Superabundant. Oh. Amen. Or superior in quality. I like that. You guys know I like my malt whiskey, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like quality. I'm a bit of a snob. I like quality. I kind of know what quality is and what quality means. That's the type of life we can have, guys. When we come to life in the Lord, some of you will get this, some of you are not. Our life is a 25-year-old Talisker, not a grouse. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Or our life is a Burberry, not a Primark. Some of you might get that. I don't kind of know where I can go next, but super quality. It's the best of the best of the best that we get from Jesus Christ. In the other words, by implication, violently excessive.
Wow.
Violently excessive. It's like he's throwing stuff on us. It's like this wave trying to crash on us that Deuteronomy 28 talks about. This wave crashing on us. It's violent. Exceedingly abundant. Above, more abundantly. Exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, superfluous. Sometimes it's nice to read Strong's. That word, abundantly, just doesn't cover it. This life that he brings to us. Now that we understand what abundant life means, all this superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, very highly, beyond measure, tell me, where does poverty fit into that? No. Where does lack fit into that? It doesn't. The same as where does sickness, where does disease fit into that? It doesn't. Abundant life. Christians who think we shouldn't live in prosperity obviously don't have John 10:10 in their Bible. Obviously. Poverty is not life in abundance. Lack is not life in abundance. Now, John 10:10 does talk about poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the start of John 10:10 that talks about poverty. It's talking about what the enemy comes to do. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, I've talked to you on this before, but the huge implication in this verse is that the thief cannot steal, kill or destroy something that you do not have.
Amen.
He cannot steal what you've not got. Yeah. It's perfectly logical. Thank you, sir. But it's got a huge implication. So if he's coming to make me sick, what's he stealing from me? My health. My healing. Which means I have it already. That's a great verse. I don't think we understand the full implication of it. If poverty has got nothing to do with life in abundance, and the enemy is coming to try and make us poor, because he's the one that wants us poor, wants us sick, wants us useless. If he's trying to take that from us, we must have it. You know, I can't say, Nunzi, take my Bible, if I don't have it in my hands. Now you can take my Bible. Now hopefully there's no one in my house, no thieves in my house at the moment. But if there were, would a thief be able to steal a 72-inch TV from my house?
No.
No. Why not? Because you all know I don't have a 72-inch telly. How often have I told you that? Now, if a thief came into my house, he probably wouldn't be very happy, because he will be able to take an old second-hand 32-inch one. Why? Because that's what I have. That's what I own. That's what I possess. I don't have a 72-inch TV. No condemnation to those of you that have, but that's okay. I'm just using that as an example, because I kind of use it all the time. But a thief, they cannot steal what I do not have. So we need to start getting into this mindset. If the enemy is coming to try and steal healing and prosperity away from me, I must have it. Can you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah,
I must have it already. He can only steal what I have. He can only destroy what I have. He can only kill what is alive in my life. If he's trying to make us sick, we have to be healed. If he's trying to make us poor, we have to be prosperous. Because he can only steal, kill, and destroy what we already have. He cannot steal, kill, or destroy what we don't have. It's like last week, you must have went out the door thinking you were healed. You'll need to get out the door today believing you're prosperous. Because if he's wanting to steal that, destroy it, it must mean we've got it. We need to try and hammer that into us. Can you see that? And as like Stuart says, it is logical, Captain. It's logical. Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. He provided for us through the cross. That's part of the atonement. Once we are born again, we possess that life in abundance. It's not like we can say, I don't want it. It's there. Then, of course, we need to work it out. I won't use the just word, because it's not that easy. Very often. And once we have it, then it's the enemy's job to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's about. So last week we have already been healed through the atonement. I want to show you this week we have already been made prosperous through the atonement. And we manifest these gifts through faith. We get them as a gift of grace through faith. We have to be prosperous so the enemy wouldn't be able to steal it away. He wants us poverty. He wants us in lack. That's not what the Lord wants. What does the Lord want? Go to 3 John verse 2. Or 3 John verse 2. Beloved. Anybody in here beloved of God? Hallelujah. Every hand should have been up. So who's this talking to? Chris has got two hands up. Well done, brother. Hallelujah. Two hands up. I love it twice. Amen. Good. Talking to us, beloved, I wish above all things that I may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. I think a lot of people just haven't got this in their Bible. Or they don't read it. God wants us sick to remove some of our pride, to keep us humble. That's going against his word. What does he want above all things? He wants you to be in health. God is not a schizophrenic. How many people did Jesus heal most of the time?
All.
So, if God puts sickness on people to teach them a lesson, Jesus is going against his Father. I can only do the things of the Father. You know, some of the perverse understanding of scriptures, Jesus should be walking around Galilee making people sick. Shouldn't he? If you can only do the things of the Father. I've seen nonsense on Facebook. I knew it was going to be coming. I try not to speak on this. Okay, try not to speak on God causing this virus because of the sin of the Chinese and the Italians. What? And then it'll be everybody else next. Nonsense. Nonsense. Remember the Ladybird Guide to Theology? Another one of my... It's like the first chapter in the Ladybird Book of Theology. God is good, the enemy's bad. Is this virus good? No. So it's nay for God. Is this virus bad? Yes, it's from the enemy. Maybe not directly, but it's a sign of a fallen world. God is good. He wants the best for us. We saw that last week. And as well as health, he wants us to prosper. Above all things, I want you to be in health and to prosper. Above having a worldwide ministry. Above trebling the size of Murray Grace Fellowship and above having a huge influence on Longbride. Not that that's an excuse not to do it. But above all that, what does God want first? He wants me to be in health and to prosper.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I'm healthy and prosperous, it gives me a better chance to reach Langbrook. It gives me a better chance to fill this church. And to be in health and to prosper. No, no, Vic. That is talking about spiritual matters. That's talking about spiritual things. Let's spiritualize everything. No, it's not. It's from a root word to mean to help on the road. That is succeeding in reaching, figuratively, to succeed in business affairs. That's what that word prosper means. How do you succeed in business affairs? How do you know your business is doing well? Sorry? Profit. Profit, making money. That's what that's talking about. You could say, I want you to have lots of money and be in health. How offensive would that be to the most of Christendom? That's what the Strong's mean, that's what the Greek means. To succeed in business affairs. If you're not making a profit, you're not succeeding, your business is not going to last very long. It is about making money. Quiet. This is about succeeding, doing well, being prosperous in the physical world. In this context of this understanding of the word in Greek, it's about making a profit. It's about having big share dividends. That's what the Greek's talking about here. No, can't agree with you there, Vic. And this is what people do. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's what it's about. It must be about spiritual things, because not every Christian's rich. Yeah, well, not every Christian's compassionate. Not every Christian's full of mercy. Not every... No, it must be not about material things, it's about spiritual riches, about spiritual prosperity. Now, if any of you are really clever, you will be saying, it's just like that message you gave Vic near the end of January. Remember that one? When I was talking about Joseph being a prosperous man. How much money did Joseph have? Nothing. Yes, I get it. There are different types of prosperity. I get that. There is spiritual prosperity. Joseph was a rich man because he knew the Lord was with him and he had a covenant with him, or he had an agreement with the Lord. He knew the Lord was with him. His riches was in his relationship with the Father. Now I get that. That type of prosperity is very, very important. It's actually the most important. It is by far the most important. However, we cannot get away from the fact that that verse I just looked at is about material prosperity and physical prosperity. If you listened very carefully to me, however many weeks ago it was, I didn't tell you that physical and material prosperity was bad. What did I tell you to do? Or tell you not to do? I told you not to chase it. I told you to chase spiritual prosperity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens after that? All these things will come unto you. So they're good things. They will come unto us. The thing about it is we don't chase it. Now, I'm not contradicting my messages by saying that now you can be physically prosperous. That's not what I was. That's not what I wasn't saying 6 weeks ago. That's not quite right. I was talking about the importance of spiritual prosperity then. But we can be physically prosperous. The word says so. All these things will be added unto us. So we chase after his righteousness, and physical prosperity will chase after us. Amen. And this was provided as part of the great exchange on the cross. Yes, this was provided at the atonement. Really, Vic? Show me the scriptures. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians. Now, if we look at 2 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 9, that talks a lot about money, talks a lot about offerings, talks a lot about giving. Talks a lot about sowing and reaping and the heart. But if you look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. Here's a verse that kind of looks like an exchange to me. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. That sounds like an exchange to you?
Yes.
Talking about the grace of Jesus Christ, something he wanted to do, something that was done on the cross. He was rich, then he became poor. Took our poverty so that we could get his riches. Yes, but Vic, this is talking about spiritual riches. What? In two chapters that's talking about money. In two chapters that's talking about giving and receiving. Two chapters that's talking about sowing and reaping your financial resources. Right in the middle of it, we suddenly switch from the material to the spiritual, then back into the material again? Or could this be talking about physical things? Could this be talking about material things? Could this be talking about money? Whether it being in the context of talking about money. I'm trying to be sarcastic. Let's not just get verses we don't like and spiritualise them. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. The two words there talking about rich are slightly different, but from the same root word that means wealthy, abounding, rich in wealth. I rest my case. Talking about that. No, I'm sorry, Vic. Those words are actually talking about spiritual matters. Well, let's just look at those Greek words and see where they're used elsewhere in Scripture, shall we? There's a good clue. So let's go to Luke 18. For someone who's telling you, no, this is about spiritual things. This is not about riches. Luke 18, verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honour thy mother and thy father." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hadst and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very spiritually rich. Is that what it says? No. For he was very rich. Exactly the same words that is used in 2 Corinthians 8:9. Now, nobody, especially religious people, are going to spiritualize this passage. Because that is kind of showing that sometimes it's not good to be rich. Oh, they love that. Love that verse. Well, that's all about money. Well, if you think that, you have to think that with 2 Corinthians 8:9, because it's exactly the same word. Exactly the same. Now look through the rest of the New Covenant, and you look for that word, rich, in 2 Corinthians 8:9. It's always used in terms of money. Always. Talks about rich men, talks about rich rulers. These rich men, these rich rulers that come to Jesus and cause all the problems, are they rich spiritually? No, they're rich materially. We don't spiritualize that verse, so let's not spiritualize 2 Corinthians 8:9. This is talking about Jesus being rich and taking our poverty so that we could then have his richness and live in abundance. He came to give us life in abundance. We dealt with that. He provided that on the cross. That's what John 10:10 is talking about. Another great exchange that took place on the cross. Guys, don't let anyone tell you that Jesus was poor. Oh, nowhere to lay his head. Didn't have a house. He was poor. No, let's look at some of the other verses. Jesus was a rich man. Jesus had a treasurer. Or a purse keeper. Why do you need a treasurer? Tell me why you need a treasurer. Because you got money. Too much money to deal with yourself. Need somebody to be in charge of that and organise it. They had money. Where did he get his money from? Well, his dad was self-employed in a business. Maybe it was a really successful business. But who visited Jesus when he was about 2? The Magi. How many of them? three or more, masses of them, that come all the way to see the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, that travel a long, long way to see him, to see this hugely important new king that was born. Do you think they brought him tiny gifts? No, let's think about it. See, when Mary and Joseph went to Egypt and came back, this is a technical term, they were loaded. Very quiet. They had lots of money. The Magi wouldn't come with tiny, tiny gifts. This was coming to see the most important person that had ever been born. And they were going to take them more than a wee bit of gold and a wee bit of whatever and whatever. They had lots. They managed to survive in Egypt well. And then when they came back, I'm sure there was still some of that left over. Jesus was wandering about with a huge entourage. And here's someone else, a lot of people just don't even bother thinking about them. Most of them were successful businessmen. Yeah? And women. But they're successful businesswomen. Given as partners, given him money. Jesus wasn't poor. If Jesus was so poor, why were the soldiers fighting over his clothes? That's the biggie for me. If Jesus was so poor, if he was living in poverty, why were the soldiers fighting and gambling over his clothes? I'll tell you why. Because they were the clothes of a rich man. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 8:9 says he went to the cross rich. Just the same as he went to the cross living in supernatural health. Living in complete acceptance from his Father. He went to the cross in that state of perfection and then took our sickness, took our rejection, took our sin, took our illness, disease, and took our poverty.
Amen.
So 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, so that we might be rich. Not to spend it on our own lusts, but to be good stewards of what the Lord has given us. On the cross, he gave up that richness to become poor. What did he have on the cross? Absolutely nothing. He didn't even have pockets to have his loose change in. He had nothing. He was completely poor on that cross. Why? So that you could, because that was our poverty. You know, we're starting to believe that he took all our sickness and all our disease. We need to get the next mindset as he took our poverty as well. One of the great, great exchanges. Now, we all know there's a purpose for riches. It's not just to get rich. We know that. I know that by the amount of offerings that's coming in through here. You guys aren't out there making lots of money and not giving anything into the offering pot. We get that in this church. It's for his purpose. The word is clear. God the Father wants us to live in prosperity, and he has provided for that through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's provided for it through the atonement. This is part of sozo, part of that, a great exchange that seems hardest for Christians to believe. I get the forgiveness. I might just accept that I've been made righteous. Okay, I'm on the way to having my healing, but prosperity? No. We've had that drummed into us that being rich is bad. It's not. We need money to run kingdom activities, don't we? We need money to do things. We need money to run this place. To maybe buy a new arm. We need money to run the things of the kingdom. Oh, well, God will provide for his work. Yes, he does. Through you making money. Look to Luke 19. So if you were on Luke 18, it's just over. Michelle's kind of touched on this morning. Luke 19, verse 12. It's about a nobleman going away. And he calls his servants and he gives them money. And he says, occupy till I come. Now that just doesn't mean do anything. That word occupy means trade as in business. That's what the Greek means. Guys, I'm going away for a while. here's some money, I want you to use this money, I want you to carry on business. Now, what's business all about? It's making profits. Some of them made profits, some made more than others, some didn't make profits. Who gets all the recognition when the nobleman comes back? The guys who have made the money. Why? Because the nobleman can get it back and use it for whatever he wants to do. What's the picture? The picture is God the Father giving us resources and us being stewards, exactly as Michelle spoke about in the offering this morning. We need to take those resources and we need to make them grow. We need to increase in terms of our physical and material riches. Why? So that we can use them for the Master's purposes, for our Master's purposes. I've said that before. I want to be so rich. Yeah, me too. Hallelujah. I want to be rich, rich, rich. Because there is so much to do. And I want you to be rich, rich, rich. Because there is so much we need to do. I've got visions for India, I've got visions for here, I've got visions for my ministry, I've got visions for your ministry. I know there are ministries in here that have already been birthed, or have just birthed, or are waiting to be birthed. Guys, we need big resources so your ministry succeeds, and your ministry succeeds, and your ministry succeeds. Oh, but God will provide. Yes, He does! By you being successful, and you being prosperous, and you giving it in the kingdom. That's what Luke 19, 12 to 20 is all about. Here's some resources. Occupy yourself till I come back. Do business. Increase those resources till I come back. Who's that a picture of? Jesus Christ. Stuart, who's gone out, said he's coming back. Of course he is. Oh. Who gets the best response when the man comes back? The guys that have made lots of money. Amen. You're in business to make money, to be rich, but then to use it wisely. Why am I saying that? I just wanted to say that to show you that it's not bad. There is not a verse in the Bible that says money is the root of all evil. There's a verse kind of like that. But it's the love of money that the root is the root of all evil. I don't love money, but I love what money can do. Oh, that's a bit of a statement there. Guys, it's money that's feeding the orphans in India. It's your money that's feeding the widows in India. It's your money that built that new feeding station. It's your money that will do more work in India. It's your money that will do work here. We need money for the kingdom. And it's been provided for through one of the great exchanges on the cross. Please never, ever forget that. The Lord reminds you not to forget it. Go to Psalm 103. One of my favourite psalms. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and here's a huge statement, and forget not all His benefits. Why does the Lord put that in there? Because we forget some of His benefits. There's nothing in there that's not required. Why is He reminding us not to forget things? Because we forget things. Forget not all His benefits. Then He gives us a little list of some of His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. We've done that. We've got that. We're forgiven. Yeah. Who healeth all thy diseases. Yeah, we kind of get that. I remember that now and again. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 5. Prosperity, abundance. God is our provider. Who satisfiest thy mouth with good things. That's just a picture. I've told you I like, in certain areas, I like good things. Not just malt whiskey. I like a good steak. You know, like a good beef bourguignon, chicken curry, fish supper. Classy. Classy. Let's move this. I like good things. When you satisfy your mouth with good things, that's a picture of prosperity. It's a picture of the king and all his entourage sitting around a table with masses and masses and masses of food and doing the old Henry VIII stuff, just going and throwing it away. But masses and masses of food, that's abundance, that's prosperity, that's what this verse is picturing. Psalm 103 is saying, don't forget that I provided you with prosperity. Don't forget that I provided you with abundance. In the same way as he's saying, don't forget I provided your healing. Don't forget I provided your forgiveness. Don't forget those benefits. That's one of the things that we really seem to forget. And what really impacted Lyra last week, I'm kind of saying it again. That has been provided by the Lord, and it's kind of legal on his part, and we're kind of obliged. Or we should be obliged. I'm not kind of sure how to preach on this yet, but we're almost obliged to be prosperous. Yeah? If you think you're obliged to live in supernatural health, prosperity is part of the social package, so we should be obliged to live in prosperity. But it's not an easy one. Because we've been having drummed into us for years and years and years. But no, it's just, you just need enough to get by. I'm sorry, but see, if somebody says, a Christian says, I just need enough to get by, that is either the height of stupidity or the height of selfishness.
Yeah.
Let's just be offensive. If you want just enough to get by, you are Mr. and Mrs. Selfish. Try to make sure I don't miss out any of you. People think I've been just looking at them. Right, I've looked at everybody now. And look at you as well. I just need enough. Well, just throw out 2 Corinthians 9 then. 2 Corinthians 9 talks about us having enough to give unto all good works. Where is I just need enough for me? Where is that in that verse? It talks about us having bread and seed. What's the bread for? Eating, it's our own needs. What's the seed for? It's to sow. Kind of going away off track there at the end, but I'll try and kind of wrap up a little bit. Sozo package, shalom, all involves prosperity, all involves abundance. Jesus came to bring us life in abundance, superabundant in quality, quantity, and superior in quality. Poverty doesn't play a part of that. Lack doesn't play a part of that. But abundance, about prosperity, and that has been provided for us already. We have it already through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Prosperity is part of the atonement. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you, Thomas. Somebody watched in the States. Excellent. Bye.